being with us. We appreciate having the opportunity of being able to worship with you and serve God. It's a great thing to be able to do that. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. We don't realize sometimes how great it is to be able to assemble like this, worship God and serve Him in a great way. And the Lord has provided many things for us. We need to be thankful for that. And we need to thank Him for that. I think Mark talked about this in Bible class this morning about being thankful. And in our lessons we're doing on Wednesday night on prayer and looking at prayer and our spiritual growth and understand some things about that. If you haven't been coming, come. We're going to be looking at some different prayers on Wednesday night. And hopefully those are going to uplift us and help us in our prayer life too. The book of Philippians is a wonderful book. Paul's in prison. Doesn't sound very good. The people back at Philippi are suffering and they're having to deal with some problems. And then here, they're going to hear Paul's in jail. And it's not like today when a person is in jail and they're going to get a lawyer and they may be in only for 24 hours. You may be able to bail them out and then you wait months for a trial and all that. No, what they did is put you in jail. And then if something extraordinary happened, they might let you out. But most of the time when you went to jail, you just stayed there because somebody wanted you in jail. And so here's Paul in jail. He's a prisoner because of his religion, because he's taught about Jesus Christ. And so what's the church going to do? Here you are. You know, living the Christian life is not always an easy thing. It's not always something that's just, you know, rose petals and wonderful things. And sometimes maybe we preachers leave the impression that if you're a Christian, then all your problems are going to vanish away. They're going to go away. You're not going to have any more. And it just vanished. You know, just come and be baptized and everything's going to be fine. Well, it's not really like that. Because when we are baptized, when we obey the gospel, that's when the devil is going to be at our doorstep. That's when the temptations are going to come. That's when things are not going to be going your way. And even sometimes I've seen people at work, at least I have on the job that I've been on, if they find out you're a Christian, they kind of want to test the waters in that just a little bit. They do some things to kind of upset you. They do some things to maybe make you mad. They bring pictures in. They do all this. They tell the jokes that shouldn't be told. They do all that in front of you. To kind of, okay, let's see how strong he is. Let's see if he really is a Christian. And you know that. You've endured those things. You've gone through those things. And you have been able to withstand that. Sometimes we didn't. And that's when we go to God and ask Him to forgive us. We've got those problems and those troubles, those difficulties. Paul talked about it on one occasion. He said, I not only have the difficulties within the church, but also those problems without that they're dealing with. The churches that are hurting, the churches that need to grow, the churches that are not doing what they need to do. And so here you have that. And I don't mean to paint a bad picture of Christianity. I mean, I want to paint a realistic picture of this thing. And there's joy in Christianity. There's happiness that's there. But it's not always happiness. It's not always joy. And so here these people are going through their daily struggles of trying to be a Christian and trying to live right with the world that's trying to bother them, the religious groups of that day, the Jewish religious groups of that day, creating problems for them. And also, you know, here's these Gentiles. Who wants them in the church anyhow? Is basically what some of them are saying, and they don't need to be in there. So you've got all those things going on. Now you hear the man who came in and preached the gospel. As far as I remember, Paul had visited Philippi 3 times. And he had preached there and he had taught the people there. Now they hear he's in prison. They realize that Paul, that is now in prison, probably is not going to get out. He's going to die there. Well, now you just think about that. You take someone that was a great leader in a congregation and you put them in prison and you take their life and they die. What's it going to do for the spirit of the congregation there? For some congregations, I've seen where maybe a preacher or an elder in the congregation passed away and that church was just kind of rocked a little bit. I remember a preacher and his family were killed going to Fried Hardeman lectureships 1 year. And that church suffered for many years because of that. Because it was such a shock to them that something like that could really happen to a good family. And so we have those things, and they're discouraging sometimes. And we look around, sometimes we see pews that are not full. That's discouraging too, and we have to deal with that. But we have all these problems that we're dealing with. And Paul is trying to help these people to deal with those things in such a way that it will not destroy them. And so what he starts in the book of Philippians is to help these people, the city of Philippi, to help these people understand that. And so he talks about some fond memories in the beginning and the first chapter there, starting with verse 3, some fond memories of the past and also memories that are going to be in the future too. He wants them to understand that. And then he goes down in verse 12, he starts a new paragraph here, and he says, I want you to understand these chains that I'm in, what I'm facing right now. I want you to understand the difficulties that I've got to deal with in my life. I don't want them to destroy you. I don't want them to take your Christianity away from you. I don't want them to dampen your Christianity at all. Yes, it's rough being in prison, but understand, this prison is not what I got to worry about. This jail that they've got me in, that's not the worst thing in the world. And he's trying to help them to be drawn together. Then he starts in verse 19, another part of that second paragraph there. He says, in life or in death, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what he wants these people to understand. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have all those things. But whether you live or die, you belong to the Lord. I mean, you're going to be His servant. If times are good, you're going to be a faithful child of God. If times are not good, you're still going to be a faithful child of God. It doesn't make any difference what happens. We're going to serve God. See, we have to understand this life is not everything. That's not an easy lesson to understand because this life is what I've known. I don't know about that other place up there. I haven't literally faced that yet. But what I've got to do is have faith that it's there. I've got to trust in God that that thing is true. That's where faith has to start. And so here, he's trying to help them to understand that. Then look, if you would, and this is the verse I want us to look at a little bit. Verse 23 in chapter 1. He said, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ. Now, if you read a lot of theologians, they got a lot of things about what they think that is. I think it's talking about Paul saying, you know, it's just like if I just let go, I probably will die. If I quit the fight, I will die. And if that happens to me, that's okay. That's okay. But then he goes on to say, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Far better than what? Far better than this world. You know, in heaven there is no sin. In heaven there is no temptation. In heaven there is rejoicing. In heaven there is worship. In heaven there is a peace that passes all understanding. In heaven there's all those things that are there. You can read in the book of Revelation and read about how wonderful heaven's going to be and all that. Wouldn't you like to be there? Wouldn't you like to go there? Okay, we got a couple that want to go. The rest of you, I don't know. No, I know you do. I know you do. You're just afraid I'm going to say, we got a bus outside. Y'all get on it. That's not what we're going to say tonight. But you see, we've got to understand that there's something past this life. And that helps us get through this. If you know that there's something at the end, you can face trouble and difficulty. If you know that there's a time when all these problems are going to be taken away, when joy is going to be yours, and that's what Paul is trying to tell these people. They're facing their difficulties, they're facing their troubles, and now Paul is probably going to die. And that's just one more thing, one more nail in their coffin, one more discouragement that they've got to deal with. What do we do now? What if he dies? What about our religion? I think that's a reason that God has designated that preachers are not the main thing in religion. Preachers come and go. They live and they die. But God continues on. And that's what we got to remember. We got to remember to keep on serving Him. Paul here would face some problems and difficulties, but he understood what God had in store for him. He understood that followers of Jesus Christ, they're going to have troubles. They're going to have difficulties. Yes. But God's made some promises to us. He's made some promises that He is going to keep. And I want us to see some of these tonight. I want us to understand some of these things here. Have you ever been hungry? You know, you just wanted something to eat. You say, every day, yeah. But what I'm talking about, there's something you want, and you've got a refrigerator that's full, you've got cabinets that are full. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done this. And I go open the refrigerator, and I'm looking, and I don't see a thing in there that really appeals to me. It's not going to fit what I want. And I go open the cabinets again. And I look at that. Then I go back to the refrigerator again. And I look at that. And I can't see. And I move stuff around in that refrigerator to try to find. I still can't see it. And I move stuff around in the cabinets. And finally, then it says, go to the garage. Get out of here. You ever been there before? Not my garage, but just throw it out of the kitchen. But there's something you want, but you don't know what it is. What do you want? I don't know. But if I ever see it, I'll know it. And we just look and look and look. Is that what Christianity is? There's something out there. We're not sure exactly what it is. And so we just kind of, you know, we're there and we're searching and we're looking, but we just can't find it. And there's that longing there within us that we can't solve that. Now that's a terrible, it's bad enough when you're hungry for something and you don't know what it is and you're looking for it. But what if that was in your spiritual life? And so here, Paul is trying to say to the people at Philippi and us today that we can trust in Jesus Christ. He has a purpose for our life. What is your life, really? What are you trying to do with your life? What's the purpose of it? What's the aim and the goal of it? For many people, it might be to get out of high school, to get out of college, to get married, to have children. To work at a good job, and then after that good job to retire and have money to where you can travel and go and do and all these things, you know, that retired people get to do sometimes. Is that all that life is? And we're just sitting around. I think some fellas were talking this morning about, okay, you know, you get old, you got this problem and that problem and this problem, and old age is not all it's cracked up to be, is it? Uh-uh. It's rough sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. But what is the purpose of our life? What if you work all your life for something and then maybe the job's taken away? Or maybe the health is bad and you've planned all your life to do this or do that, but your health is taken and you don't have that anymore. What's your life going to be then? Is it just nothing? You know what the purpose of our life is? You know what God wanted to have as a purpose of our life? He wanted us to have Him as the purpose of our life. Us being willing to follow Him. Paul is saying here in verse 21 of this same chapter, to live with Christ is gain. It's really the best thing, to live and to serve Christ. That's the greatest thing that ever could be. That gives us purpose in our life. All the way through life. And it doesn't make any difference how your health is. It doesn't make any difference if your health is good, if it's not good. If your health is not good, you can still pray, can't you? If your health is not good, you can at least talk to the people that come by and let them know, hey, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? And they may not understand that with the condition that you're having to deal with. But maybe we need to help them to understand where my strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from what I got. It doesn't come from how much money I have. It doesn't come from the retirement that I have. It doesn't come from inheritance and all that. What it comes from is a trust in the Lord and a dependence upon the Lord. Paul in Galatians 2 and verse 20 said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And that's the purpose of our life. If all your life is what's in this world, let me tell you something, you're going to be let down. You're going to be let down. Now you look at some of the people now that are walking around, they had a job, they don't have a job anymore. And I'm not saying that's an easy thing to deal with. That's a terrible thing to have to deal with. It's awful. I mean, you know, around here, you lose your house, you lose everything you have. That's a terrible thing. And what you want to do is just sit down and cry about it and just keep crying. But isn't it wonderful we got a Lord that loves us? And even if we lose everything we have, we still got a Lord. Even if we lose our life, we've still got a Lord. Whatever it is, we've got the Lord. And that's what Paul wants these people to understand. God's got a purpose in your life. I wish that every person could see the purpose that God has in their life. And there is a purpose in your life. There is something that God wants out of you. It's people walking by faith. That's what he wants. Paul said, I'm in this, but it's not for me, and it's not for this physical life. What it's for is for Jesus Christ. I'm showing how he would live and the important things in his life. Do we see how important it is in our life to be children of God? To be those people that we want to serve God, we want to do God's will. Do we help other people to be able to see that? You know, another thing that God provides for us is a pattern for our life. He gives us a pattern. Now, some people don't like the word pattern. I don't understand that. But some people don't like the word pattern. But he gives us a pattern. Not just for worship. Not just that these things we're to do in our worship. We fuss about, okay, you're doing the Lord's. I've seen people get upset because people do the Lord's Supper first. They don't do it at the end. I don't think the Lord really cares whether you do it first or last. We have preaching. I don't know whether that's a good thing to start off with. I know some congregations, they start off with a sermon, you know. What if we got up here and I just walked up here and started preaching one Sunday, and then after I got through, Melvis, if he's leading singing, or Joe, or whoever it is, Gary, whoever, they come up and they just lead some songs after that. Would you go, what's going on? He's got a pattern. And that pattern is not, okay, put your foot here and put your foot there. But the pattern is helping us to know the direction we're going. Not every step that's there, but the direction that we are going to be going in. Jesus said to some disciples in John 14, he said, the way I go, and you know it. And they said, no, we don't. He said, yeah. You follow my example as I follow the Father's example. That's the way you go. You see, I think they were looking for a particular place. They were looking for a town. Oh, are you talking about Gerizim over here? Are you talking about, Jerusalem? What town are you talking about? It's not a town. It's a place. It's in the heart. It's there for us in that heart. Some people today really deny that there is a pattern that God has, but there is a pattern there. And it is a very important pattern. Philippians 2 and verse 5, listen to this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let you have the mind of Christ. And there's the pattern. What was the pattern for the life of Christ? If you just take it, and sometimes it's good to take things and put them in just a single sentence. What was the pattern that Jesus Christ had in his life? To do the will of the Father. You say, no, wait a minute, that's not a pattern. Yes, it is. Whatever he did, whatever decision he made, wherever he went, it was to do the will of the Father. Is your religion that important to you? Is it that all-encompassing for you that you're trying to find, I've got to make a decision on a job. Okay, how is that going to affect my Christianity? How is that going to affect my family and my relationship with them? How is it going to change? We need that same pattern in us. He was one that was willing to understand it. Listen, Jesus, I do not seek my own will, John 5 and verse 30, but the will of Him who sent me. That's the pattern. Whatever we do, we need to do those things that are going to help us to be drawn closer to God and walk in the light that God gives us. That's what we're supposed to do. We get lost sometimes in the little bitty things when we need to come back and look at the big picture. What is this going to do for my relationship with God? How is this going to help other people in their service to God? How is the light that I'm giving by the way I live my life showing other people the way they need to go? How is it doing that? And that needs to be the thing we need to see. What does God say within His Word? How does He do that? How does He accomplish that? Christ suffered, leaving us an example. He was willing to give up His will, His way, for God's way. Was Jesus Christ ever tempted? Was He? Yeah. Some people can't see that. Oh, He's the Son of God. He wasn't tempted. Yes, He was. In fact, I think I read in a book somewhere where He said He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. It's this book. Okay, how did He deal with that? How did He handle that? We see Him going apart to pray. We see Him talking to the Father. We see Him enduring those things that are so difficult for Him to handle at that time because He was in this fleshly body. And He was tempted. But He didn't sin. Why? Because He was walking with God. He was living according to God's principles. That's what He was trying to do. When we follow the pattern of God, we're going to see how easier Christianity is. We're going to understand how great it is. Now, in Matthew 18 and verse 35, if you want to turn there, that's fine, but just mark it somewhere where you can go back to it if you don't. But Matthew 18 and verse 35, He said, you know, talking about a servant and how a servant needs to forgive. And He wants those people at that time to understand that we are to be willing to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. Now, I think there's a pattern there. Will God forgive people of their sins? How far will God go in forgiving people of their sins? How many times will God forgive people of their sins? That's a pattern for us. God will forgive you every time you're willing to repent. Isn't that right? Every time you repent, He will forgive you. We need to understand that. Do we forgive others every time they sin against us? See the pattern? God's pattern is, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. I'll even help you when you're rejecting me and turning away from me. We read in the book of Romans where we were those that were enemies fighting against God, and God sent His only Son into the world to die for us. And we wasn't asking for forgiveness at that time. We were saying, we don't want you. We don't care about you. We don't want to follow your way. And He said, here's my Son. Here's my Son. And I send Him for you. I send Him for you. I don't want Him, but I send Him anyhow. You know what? God was, is, and will be looking for ways to forgive others. That's our pattern. We need to be looking and seeking and wanting a way to forgive people that have sinned against us. That's the pattern. We need to follow the pattern. That's a pattern of the Father. That's what we've got to do, is to seek to forgive others like God forgives us. And you say, well, if I don't, then I won't be forgiven. So I'll forgive you. But is it really from our heart? Is it really from the spirit and the soul? Another pattern. In Romans 12 and verse 15, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. We need to have compassion for others. We need to have a compassion for people. And this goes for everybody. We need to have a compassion for people, even though they may be in the midst of sin, and their lives may be in such a wreck, and everything is wrong, but we need to have a compassion for them and a care for them and a concern for them, and we're going to help them, we're going to do for them, and there's no restrictions on that. If it's wrong, we're not going to do that. We understand that, so please don't go that far. But we're going to do whatever we got to do to help people. Well, again, what if they don't appreciate it? That's all right. We're still going to do what's right. We're still going to try to help those people. We're still going to try to do for those people. We need to have a longing for the lost like God did. Look at the pattern of God's concern for those that are lost. He was willing to send His Son to die on a cross for them. As we've already mentioned, even though some of those people did not want to seek forgiveness, they didn't want it. They wanted God to let them alone. Don't fool with us. Let us alone. We'll do our own thing. But God still sent His Son. He wanted to forgive. He wanted to help those people that were lost. And look at this. Look what He does. His love is so great. He came to seek and to save those that were lost, those that were fighting against Him, according to Luke 19 and verse 10. He was willing to do that. That's God's pattern. Let me tell you something. He wants every lost person to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not happy about anybody being lost. He wants everybody. And see, that's a pattern we need to have. A compassion, a concern for the souls of people. We need to have those fruits of the Spirit. We studied those a few months ago, that love, joy, and all that. Love, joy, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, those are not things that we're just to try to have in our life, but those are things that come out of a life that's given to God. Those are not things that I've got. Okay, I got to work on joy. I'm going 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 to work on joy. No, I'm a person that I'm so tied up in God that joy is just a part of it. It's just something that comes out of that. And all these other Christian graces that are there for us are the fruits of the Spirit that are there for us. And we're going to live like that. And we're going to have those things in us. I want us to see the patterns of God and us to follow the patterns of God, so that we can know how wonderful it is to have this thing of God that's there. And don't forget the prize that is ever before you. Not just heaven, forgiveness of sins. Heaven is a part of it. Some people are Christians because they just don't want to go to hell. And they want to do just enough to stay out of there. And they don't realize that the attitude is the biggest problem. We need to want to go to be with God, to rejoice with Him, to let Him be the one that is there for us. And that there is a prize before us, and it is a wonderful thing. It's a thing that is given to every one of us. It's our purpose of life. Philippians 3 and verse 14, we are to press toward the goal of this high calling that God has for us. Now, that's not just for heaven. That's for here too. What we need to do is to understand this thing of heaven is not just over there somewhere. It's not just after they close the coffin you get all that. Let me tell you something. A part of the prize is here and now. I mean, you're here in worship tonight. That's a part of the prize. That's a part of what we've got. And we're going to get that. That's what God wants us to have. Worship is not something where He just said, okay, I'm commanding you to be there, and so you're there. Put your body there where you don't want to. Have you ever told your children to do something and they did it, but you knew they didn't want to do it while they were doing it? You could look at their faces. Pull those eyebrows down and, they're doing it, but there is no joy in it. Let me tell you something. The problem is that that's the way a lot of Christians are. There's no joy in it. And if you're not happy in it, it's going to be worse. Have the joy in it because of all that He has for you, all that He has in store for you, not only in the life to come, but in this life. You be willing to have that and understand that. And the power that He has given you. That's another great thing that we've got. He has given us a power that is stronger than anything that the world has to offer. You know, doctors are very important, and they do a great job. And I'm envious of them and what they're able to do and surgeries and everything else. That's a great power. Well, let me tell you something. Their power or any power in the world is just diminishes when we think about God's power and what God has for us and how God protects us. Man can kill the body, but man can't kill the soul. Man can kill the body, but he can't take that soul out and cast it into hell. Man can do a lot of things to us. And I'm telling you, they hurt. They're bad. But as long as we stay with God, it's going to work out right. And that's the thing we got to worry about. That's the thing we got to be concerned about. This old life, that's it. But we've got a God that loves us. I want you tonight to realize Paul faced a lot of problems and difficulties in his life. He had a lot of things he had to deal with. He was trying to help the church there to deal with some of the problems he knew that they were going to face, because what if he did lose his life? I don't know if he knew he was going to get out of jail. He was there. And going to jail was going to jail and going to death. But he knew that whether he lived or whether he died, he belonged to the Lord. He was going to serve God. He was going to do His will no matter what. And he was committed to that. And let me tell you something. That took all these other things out of the way. That eliminated all the other problems that he had to deal with, because they weren't there anymore. He could deal with the troubles of the church and the difficulties of outside the world and the Pharisees after him and all these people trying to kill him. He could deal with those things. In fact, he didn't worry about it. If you live, that's great. If you die, that's okay. You're still with the Lord. I want you to have a happy Christian life and not a sad one. I want you to enjoy your Christianity. Jesus Christ died where we could do that. Now and also in the future. Don't just look to the future, but enjoy it now. We are able to offer forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We're able to offer, as happened this morning, when Cleo was baptized, her sins were washed away. They were cleansed. We can offer you that, not because what we've done, what the elders have done, how much we paid, all that. We can offer you that because of what Jesus Christ did. And I will guarantee you, your sins are washed away.